If you can't find somebody to go with you, go anyway. Don't miss out on anything that you want to do. If you're scared, do it scared.
Welcome to Reinvention Revels, stories of brave and unapologetic women, 50 to 90 years young, who have boldly reimagined life on their own terms to find new purpose and possibilities. I'm your host, Wendy Battles. Ready for a dose of inspiration? Let's get to it. My guest today, Erica Bradley, is a kindred spirit, passionate about health and wellness, being of service to others, and empowering women to tap into their highest potential. I first met her, saw her, back in the mid-2000s when we worked out at the same gym. I would see her from afar working out with her husband, and she always looked so warm and friendly. Who knew that this beautiful soul with the warmest of smiles and biggest of hearts would become a dear friend years later? Erica thrives on lifting others up, especially women, and always finds the best in people, no matter what their circumstances. She's an active volunteer, being of service through her church, sorority, and serving on nonprofit boards. While she spent most of her career working in corporate sales, at 57, she's tuned into her true passion, travel. She shares her joy of travel and exploration with her family, but also with clients, helping them not just plan a trip, but to create an engaging, memorable, and sometimes life-changing experience. This inspiring Reinvention Rebel unapologetically lifts women up, has a deep sense of purpose, and has a vision for helping women take control of their lives to find happiness and satisfaction. Erica Bradley, welcome to Reinvention Rebels.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh my goodness. It's so interesting when you see how others see you. So that just warmed my heart beyond words. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All so true. And I'm really excited that you're here and we're going to have this conversation and to talk about your journey as a Reinvention Rebel, how you've really awakened to your purpose. I think so many of us are trying to figure things out. And when we hear others' stories, we can often see a part of ourselves in their story.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And sometimes that sparks something in us that says, huh, maybe I could think a little differently about my own life based on what Erica's done. I'm inspired by what Erica's done. How could I get a little bit of that? So I love the fact that you are figuring it out and you can kind of share your story. So I see you as what I like to call a kick-ass reinvention rebel, girl. And I say that because you've reflected on what's important to you. You've reimagined how you want to focus your time and energy to serve others. Mm-hmm. And then really importantly, you've taken action to make it happen. It's what I call reflect, reimagine, restart when I talk about Reinvention Rebels. So let's talk about your reinvention journey. And I want to ask you, how did you get clarity about your purpose, this idea you have to empower women to take control of their lives?
You know, I constantly ask myself those questions. You know, I think many of us can relate to either the car ride to work or the car ride dropping our kids off or whatever. And you, although you love your life and you appreciate your life, I mean, I really honor where God has me. But I'm always asking, what else? What's next? Or if you are scrolling through Facebook or scrolling through Instagram and you see these fabulous pictures and people doing all these kinds of things, you can't help but say, why not me? But instead of taking it from an envious perspective, or as the kids would say, don't hate, you know, you have to just realize, okay, this is where I am, but where do I want to be? And you have to also, I had to remind myself that nothing happened overnight. So I started journaling and I would write, you know, the things that excited me. I wrote the things that I didn't like. I wrote the kinds of people that I liked to spend time with. And then I realized you need to spend time with people that will allow you to have those kinds of conversations like you and I have had. Spend time with people that you can bounce questions off, and you will get to the place where your life is looking more like what you want it to. It starts to feel good. It starts to feel better in your gut. And then I think, girl, when you get to a certain point, you stop asking for permission. You're like, okay, what I'm doing now might look good from a corporate perspective. It might look good from, you know, a worldview, but it doesn't feel good to Erica. So I'm going to chip away at that, you know, because it can't, again, nothing happens overnight. My girlfriend has a Facebook page. It doesn't happen overnight. I love that. And nothing happens overnight. Little by little, you'll start to realize, okay, I'm not at my purpose yet, but I see it at the end of this tunnel. That light that's at the end of the tunnel, you just keep walking toward it. And if I said to you that I'm there, that would be a total lie. That would be a total lie. It's like a journey. It's a constant journey, but you got to give yourself permission to stay on that path and do the things that you love to do. Even if it's part-time, even if it's from a voluntary perspective, do those things that you love to do. You know, do what you love and the money will follow. That's an expression too.
Yeah.
Do what you love, the money will follow, right? And I really think that that is so true. And the other thing is, along your journey, as you're climbing, lift as you climb. Lift as you climb. Lift others. Bring somebody else along. Tell somebody else, you can do it.
I love that.
You know,
yeah.
You can do it. So I'm still doing it.
You're still doing it. And that's so you. You are, I always feel inspired by what you post on Facebook and how you're always encouraging other people. And when is one of your friends' birthdays, the beautiful post that you write about them and what they bring to the world and how they inspire you. I feel like you really live that idea of lifting others up. And that's one thing that always warms my heart. You know, if I'm feeling bad, I'm like, all I have to do is look at Erica's page. Because Erica is always about being positive and lifting others up. I hear you too when you talk about that this is a journey, that this is an evolution, that, you know, we don't have to necessarily feel like we have to rush, because things, if we allow it to happen, things can unfold for us.
It's been done for me. I've got women in my life that always lifted me, that always encouraged me. When I have those moments where I don't feel like I'm doing the best, or I've made mistakes, instead of looking at a mistake, I never came home and was chastised for a mistake. If it was a mistake that I made when I was attempting to do something positive, right? I have my sister, Karen, who always, no matter what, encourages me. It's okay. You know, do it again, try again. If it's something that you're trying to do that's positive and you make a mistake, you just continue to do it. So if that's been done for me, if I've been encouraged that way, I believe it's my duty to encourage others. I think the beauty of surrounding yourself with beautiful women like yourself, the beauty of aging, it's the time that you realize that you don't have to rush through anything. When you rush through things, you make mistakes. When you don't take the time to reflect on the error that you might have made, and it might be an error to you, it might be a work of art to somebody else. So just take the time to reflect on whatever that is, and you'll see that there's a lesson in it. So if I know that, and I've always been encouraged that way, it's my duty to share that with others. And I'm a mom. If I don't tell Zaria that, if I don't let her see my hiccups, how is she going to realize that it's okay for her to make them? You bake a cake, and you put an ingredient in there that you didn't think was supposed to be in there, right? And then you taste the cake, and you're like, this cake is good. It's just really about encouraging other people to just keep going. Just keep going.
That's so powerful what you said about being that role model for Zaria, that this isn't about being perfect,
mm-mm,
but it's about those lessons that we can learn Because I also heard you said it's about being more mindful and paying attention to what's happened, and also about giving ourselves some grace.
Yes. Yes. Grace is huge. That's a hat you've got to wear every day. And you've got to forgive yourself. You've got to empower yourself. You've got to ignore the background noise a lot of times. That noise, someone else's standards that they place on you, the world's standards, it will cause you so much stomach acid. It's not even funny. You've got to write that script yourself. You've got to determine that for yourself. Your journey isn't going to look like anybody else's. My journey doesn't look like anybody else's. My journey doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like in when I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s even. You know, it evolves. You evolve. And that's the beauty of it. The other thing too, Wendy, my mom wasn't here at my age. I lost my mother at 56. And she was brilliant and she was beautiful and she was bright and she was encouraging. And so it is my duty to just live every day to its fullest, because it's a gift that was given, that wasn't given to my mom. So I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for her. I'm doing it for Zaria, and, you know, having a good old time doing it.
I love it. I love that you have this legacy of this modeling with your mom, with your sister, with other women in your life, and that you're then modeling that in your own life for Zaria is so powerful. What do you think our world would look like if more women felt this sense of empowerment?
You know, first of all, I think our world is pretty awesome, to be honest with you. I know that there's a lot of craziness. There's a lot of political tension, regardless of where you fall, you know, which party you fall on. I know that we're in the middle of a pandemic, right? But really, if you stop and you take a look at where this world is, it's pretty awesome. And you look at a lot of the work that's been done already, that's why this world is awesome. You look at, you know, we are celebrating the anniversary of the women's right to vote, right? I am part of Delta Sigma Theta. 22 college-aged women marched down Pennsylvania Avenue. That was our first public act. They were in their 20s, in their late teens, early 20s. Those were 22 women that did that. They were in the back because they were Black women and they weren't welcomed at that march, right? But they knew that they had to be there to make change. So when I start to think about what would this world look like if more women felt empowered, I reflect on the women that already have felt empowered and why the world is as advanced as it is now. Now, I think when we start to look at ourselves as the CFO, Chief Family Officer, that's what I call it, the Chief Family Officer, right? In our families, whether you're a family of one or a family, or you've got a husband and five children, doesn't matter. You could, because you can be a family all by yourself, you know? When we start to look at that and we start to realize that we are the ones that are really making this thing go. We're making the decisions, the healthcare decisions, the financial decisions. We're buying property. We are voting. We're taking people to the polls when we go. We are changing the way we eat. Therefore, we're changing the way our family and our friends eat, just simply by being around them and continuing to talk to them about the importance of that. When we continue to have conversations about, yes, you can't do it. I know that idea that's swirling around in your mind might seem crazy. I know you can't really think about how you're going to monetize that right now. Try it anyway. Do it anyway. So I think the world looks the way it looks because women have always been in power. Women have always felt empowered. We just have to let the person next to us that doesn't realize that we've been running the show, let them know we're running this show.
I love that. We are running the show.
We're running the show, whether the person realizes it or not. Because the other thing we do, we're charming, right? So we have a way of getting what we want and need and letting you think that it's your idea. And guess what? Who cares about getting the credit? I think we get hung up on that. I don't need a billboard that says, oh, this was Erica's idea. As long as the end result is something that looks good and feels good and works for me. Keep it moving. We spend so much time on getting credit, or they didn't acknowledge me, or they didn't listen. You're still running the show.
Are you thinking, I'll have some of what she's having? Reinvention Ripples are amazing, as you can hear from our discussion. They've put themselves first, decided their dreams matter, and are taking action. They have unleashed their inner rebel and are living on purpose in midlife. Are you ready to start putting yourself first and embark on your midlife dreams, focused on what you want, not others' ideas of what you should do? Come check out my new audio course, Midlife Reinvention from the Inside Out, 8 Essentials to Greenlight Your Life. I share my roadmap to get you started on your reinvention journey, with the key components you need to navigate detours and get on the road to smooth reinvention sailing. Sis, it is time to give yourself the green light to shine in midlife and crush those dreams of yours with joy and purpose. Join today and let's reinvent and get inspired together. Details are in the show notes.
I hear you when you say that. And part of what I hear is that there's a lot of ways that we can feel empowered. It's not always this one route of, I was in charge and I did all this and I'm out front. That we can, just even in the civil rights movement, the key role that Black women played, really behind the scenes, because we weren't really allowed to be out front, but we played a pivotal role in supporting the movement.
That's right.
And I think that it just goes to show you that, you know, each of us has, as you pointed out earlier, we're all on a different journey. We're all figuring it out, but there's all a way that we can make a difference. There's all a way that we can be empowered and help others to be empowered, whatever that is, right? It's up to each of us to kind of figure it out.
Think about the civil rights movement, right? Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, when you think about how many trips that she made back to rescue others out of horrific situation, right? She didn't do it going back. She did it quietly.
Yeah.
She did it quietly. Rosa Parks sat on that bus quietly, refusing to move. Quietly. She was, and I think a lot of times we want to be the one out front. We want to be the loudest. We want the accolades. That's fine. That's fine. There's a role for that too. And that's beautiful. We need to respect the person that's quietly behind the scenes making moves also. And when we are the one who's behind the scenes making moves, maybe our name might not be in the paper. Maybe our name might not go, but you have to be comfortable with that person wouldn't have been entitled or empowered to do that if I wasn't behind the scenes taking care of this, or if I didn't quietly make this move. Going back to the cake analogy, there are many ingredients in the cake. You see the frosting, but you don't know anything about, you might not see the sugar when it went in the bowl. You didn't see the butter when it went in the bowl. You see the frosting, but the cake would not be the same without the sugar, without the butter, without the flour, right? You got to know your place, be comfortable in your place, and brag on the inside, that cake was good because I was there.
I love that. That's such a great metaphor for this notion that we all can make a difference. And I think especially now, you know, with the racial, you know, the movement for racial justice and Black Lives Matter and many other things that are going on in our society, you know, some people are out front and they're marching and they're protesting. Lots of other people are just as passionate and supportive, but maybe that's not where they feel comfortable, but they're contributing money or they're writing letters.
Writing to their congressman.
Exactly. So I think there's so many different ways that we can feel empowered, whether it's out front or it's behind the scenes. So I really love this notion of this cake. And, you know, we all can be an ingredient in that cake, whether it's the frosting or it's the sugar and the flour. And hopefully it's all natural.
Exactly. Exactly. The other thing too, I think when we're talking about how can we empower women, we can empower women by just what you just said, Wendy, really respecting women, respecting our sisters where they are. Don't try to change someone because you're out front doing this. Don't belittle the person or don't be void of the respect that the other person deserves because they've taken a different path. So we can empower women or empower ourselves by empowering others. Take a minute. It only takes a minute. Let me see what her contribution is. Very often, because she's doing that, because she's out front doing something, she needs help somewhere else. You can do that. You can do that instead of trying to join where maybe it doesn't even feel 100% authentic for you. You don't really know how to show up in that space. So you're not going to be as effective as where you authentically are. And you got to be comfortable with that. And I really feel a lot of that just comes with time. It just comes with time and people like you who allow us to have these conversations.
Yeah, I think that is true that we're, because I certainly feel like, you know, as someone in my 50s as well, that I've gotten much clearer about my purpose and how I can add value. And it's not necessarily out front. Like, it's not necessarily, you know, in a march, walking down the road, which is so critical. Like, that's such a critical part of this movement. But I feel like I'm a very powerful behind the scenes person.
Yes.
And I feel like I can use my voice in powerful ways that can be just as effective. So
absolutely.
You were so right about kind of figuring it out. So this really goes hand in hand with empowerment. The reinvention rebels I know are unapologetic about going for their dreams and desires and figuring out how to make them happen, like you. But that's not easy for every woman. Sometimes we're held back by our past experiences, what we learned growing up, or the self-imposed limits we put on ourselves.
Yes.
How do you think women can build their unapologetic muscle and start claiming more joy and satisfaction as we age?
One thing that did it for me, anybody who knows me well knows I love Audible. Audible, for those who may not be familiar, is an app. I love to read, but because of time, and I spend a lot of time in my car and a lot of time at basketball games with my daughter and, you know, a lot of time like we all do. I found a way to enjoy books while I'm traveling. And Audible is an app where I have all my books. So I started to notice areas of opportunity for growth. And I started buying books in those area, in that genre. And I just started playing them and listening to them. And it may sound crazy, but through that, I met other women who felt the same way, other women who had a dream, other women who had insecurities, other women or men, because I listened to, you know, all kinds of authors. But that was how I built my muscle. People with, I don't like Audible. I like books. I like paper. I like to feel the books. Great. I do too. But because I love reading and because my father told me years ago, your quest for knowledge should never cease. That's a way that I learn. That's a way that I built my muscle. That's a way that I learned you're okay because you're thinking about something other than what you're doing right now. So find what works for you. You know, you find what works for you. That was one thing that worked for me. The power of prayer for me is huge. And when I pray, I have a conversation just like I'm having with you right now. I don't stand on ceremony. There's nothing formal about it. I talk to God in the way or, you know, in the way that I am talking to you. And then you have to remember that you've got one mouth and two ears. So you listen twice as much as you speak. And in that, you'll hear all kinds of voices and you'll find yourself in all kinds of situations where you're getting messages. You're exposed to people who are doing all kinds of things. You're learning about all kinds of things that you didn't think anything about before by exposing yourself to something new. And that's when you start to say, wow, there's all these people out there that are doing these things If they can do it, I can do it. I don't think truer words have ever been spoken. If they can do it, I can do it. It may look differently, then that does may look a little different. That's great. That's the beauty of it. But that's the way that I built my muscle, if you will. I love that term, built my muscle, just by learning and finding the tools that help you learn. Books did it for me. Books and prayer above everything.
I am right there with you on both of those. I love to read. Also, I find so much insight about myself.
Yes.
And sometimes getting out of my comfort zone by reading.
Yes.
And expanding my worldview, thinking about new ideas. How might that apply to me in a unique way?
Yes.
And I love that. And I'm with you too about prayer, that because I talk to the universe. I said, universe, I need your support. Please guide me, right? And then that listening that you talked about, I love that. We have one mouth but two ears, because I think so much of this, how we become braver, more unapologetic about what we want, is listening to that wisdom that, for me, what I call whispers from the universe, like bubbles up.
Yes.
And if I'm more quiet and still, I can hear it.
Absolutely.
Because I can get busy and run around. And one thing I found about the pandemic and working from home, it's really been a gift. Despite the challenges of it, it's also been a gift. And the chance to be more still and more quiet and to really tune in more on the inside has been invaluable for my personal growth.
Oh my gosh, yes. I think, and just because you look at things that way, I mean, I think that's huge. So many people, the first thing that came out of their mouth, if you asked them how they were doing, was something, oh my goodness, the whole woe is me. Now, I'm not belittling that, because there are a lot of people that are going through a lot of challenges, lots of challenges. And yes, this has been a challenging time, but I'm like you. I took that time and really searched for the gift in it. My girlfriend posted something one day. She said, we're not going back to normal because normal never was. And I was like, oh my gosh, that said everything. The running around, the hustle and bustle, the going, running from pillar to post, not spending time to just breathe, not really enjoying a meal because, you know, you were on that clock, not doing work to the fullest because you had to get to the next appointment, not really hearing someone's response when you ask them, how are you? Or they asked you, how are you? And you might share something with them. They go, I'm sorry to hear that. And they move right along. Someone posts a loss on Facebook and you say, I'm sorry, I will pray for you. Are you really praying for them? Or is that just something that you said? So being more intentional, and this time really allowed the same for me. Time to slow down. Time to do a self-assessment. Really be intentional about what I wanted. Write down your timeline of when you want things to be accomplished. And guess what? Write it in pencil, because maybe you have to erase it and readjust. And that's okay. Just keep moving forward. But take the time to enjoy whatever gift has been given to you. Take that time.
Amen, girl. Amen. I couldn't agree with you more.
Hey, Reinvention Rebels. Want to have Reinvention Rebels inspiration delivered to your inbox? Head over to reinventionrebels.com and sign up for my news and notes.
What would you say has been most challenging? I know that, you know, most of us don't have just an upward trajectory without any obstacles in our way. And we have to kind of get our mindset around how to overcome them. What's been most challenging for you about reinventing yourself in your 50s, and how have you shifted your mindset?
So I think what's been, two things come to mind when I think about reinventing myself in my 50s. I'm a mom. I didn't become a mom until I was in my 40s. And so where I am right now is a delicate balance of what I need and what my daughter needs. And my daughter will always win. Her needs will always win, because she can't do it for herself. But if I had to say that I didn't do that sometimes, like, oh, I wish I could do X, or oh, I wish I had the resources to do Y, I'd be lying to you, but those resources are allocated for something else. Example for me right now is I want to go back to school. I want to get another degree. Well, my daughter will be going to college in 4 years. So I find it challenging to, and I'm not going to, take money from my household that's earmarked for her and spend it on a degree for me, not in this moment. Nor am I going to get into student loan debt or anything at this point in my life and have more debt incurred upon my family or brought upon my family. So I'm not going to do that either. So challenges like that, the weighing, the constant balancing act, and she'll always win because that's what she deserves. You know, she's a child. And when we have children in our lives, regardless of how they enter our lives, that is a commitment that we've made to them. And I do it with joy. But that is, you know, that's some of the challenges that I face. Also, when I started on this reinvention, I started on it with my husband, Frankie. And over the course of time, I realized that it is more my passion than our passion. So I had a little bit of a struggle with how do I include him without alienating him, without having a problem with the fact that it is not necessarily a passion of his as much as it is mine, but yet it is still my passion. I'm still going to pursue it. Thankfully, he is the kind of person that's very encouraging, and he kind of just lets me rock out. He knows his wife has tons of crazy ideas. He lets me rock out and do what I need to do, right? But I also couldn't begrudge him because his ideas and his goals have changed, or the role that he wants to play in this endeavor that we're a part of has changed. If I want him to respect me, I have to respect him also. So the roles have changed a little bit. So those are two challenges that I've had to face. And just, I think the challenge of time, you know, I said two challenges, but I have a third, just the challenge of time. We all have so much that we're doing and trying to find the time to do it all. So it's very important to segment your day. It's very important to write things down because you'll get to the end of your day and realize that three things on your to-do list that were very important didn't get done because you had shiny object syndrome and something else caught your attention. So those are some of the challenges that I face. Not huge, but big to me.
And those are big. It's a lot to think about. How do you prioritize things in your life? And you're so clear about that. Your daughter is always number one, and that you, but that there's always possibility for you to do the things you want to do, even if it's a little later.
That's right.
It's not right now, but it's certainly possible. And I do know what you mean about the time. It's hard. And I sometimes have to limit myself on social media. Like I'll set a timer. I'll spend 15 minutes on Facebook.
I love that.
Right. And then I have to stop because there are other things I'm up to. There are other things that are important. And while Facebook can be fun and also can be very powerful to stay connected, especially during these challenging times, I also know I have a podcast to produce. I've got other things I'm working on that are really important to me, that are my passion. And I want to make sure I stay focused on that.
Yes.
So I love that tip about how you manage your time. So I know that we both share this passion for travel.
Yes, we do.
Love to have new experiences and just see new things and understand how other people live. It's just such a great thing. I want to know, how did you develop this passion for travel?
So I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. And a friend of ours introduced us to a company that it was a network marketing travel business. And we joined it and it was great. But what was different for Frankie and I than the rest is that they were building travel agencies for other people, and maybe travel wasn't necessarily the main focus. For us, it was travel. We wanted a travel agency for ourselves. So I investigated how can we have the same business model and help anyone else who wanted to open their own agency. I can still do that, but I really want to help people get to that destination. And so I had to look at, because there's tons of travel agents. I had to look at then how could I make myself different and unique in that space? What is it that I like about travel? So I like bucket list travel destinations. I like that person that says, I've always wanted to go here. I haven't had a chance to go here. I've been saving for 2 years. This is where I want to go. I'm not really that person who wants to just take that quick spur of the moment trip. Certainly I can do that too. But I'm that person who works with one who likes to go on an annual trip, who wants to go to someplace they've always imagined, who loves other countries, who loves the unusual, the unique, the different culture. How am I going to come away from this experience enriched? That doesn't mean I'm not enriched when I'm poolside with something with an umbrella in it. I mean, that's a different kind of enrichment, right? I love that too. But I love the, you know, I want to go here. I want to be entrenched in the culture. I want to learn. I want to see what they're doing. I want to feel, I want to eat authentic food, not necessarily just resort food. That's me. And so we started realizing that. So we pulled away from the network marketing. That was never really my thing anyway. Established our own agency. And it really also came from wanting Zaria to see other parts of the world. Because I think one of the reasons why there are so many people who have a limited view of this world is because they've had a limited view of this world. They don't understand how this world really works. They don't understand the beauty of other cultures. They don't understand that that person may think differently only because they've had different experiences. It doesn't make them wrong. It just makes them different. And you can learn in that. So we're like, well, let's take Zaria to those places so that she can see that there's a lot that's outside of the city and state where we live. We wanted to be her geography teacher.
That's powerful to use that as geography lessons to help both yourselves and Zaria understand the world so much more broadly. I love that. And I know, and as speaking as someone who is your client, who you are like my travel agent, which again, isn't just that transactional kind of, you know, okay, can you book this for me? But helping,
right?
You know, Bruce, my husband and I create these experiences. Like, that's what I love. You're like, okay, Wendy, what is it you want to experience? Why is this trip important to you? What do you want to feel like you've done when you come back? What is it you want to feel? Like, so it's not just saying, okay, well, when do you want to leave and where do you want to go? But I appreciate that you try to really understand what it is we want.
You and Bruce have really helped me get my sea legs in that regard, because you were one of the first clients that started talking to me about, okay, so we don't necessarily want to stay at the traditional hotel. We want something different. We want it to be, I want to be able to, you know, experience the culture. We want the food. We want the language. We want all of that. We want to take a train from one country to another. You were one of the first customers in, and I was like, oh my God. And the excitement that I got by working with you is part of the reason that, you know, that fueled my passion to bring that to other people. So I have a huge debt of gratitude to you and Bruce for that, you know. Wow. And that you continue to return, because you could go anywhere. You know, you can work with anybody, but thank you.
I know, girl, yeah. But you are like my lifetime person. You are my
thank
person
you.
When it comes to travel. And I mean, I know none of us are traveling right now. And,
right.
You know, we're kind of on our, you know, but
we're a little bit of a hiatus right now, but that's
hiatus.
Okay. We're in planning mode.
We're in planning mode. And I already have all these, you know, so many places I want to go. Things
yes.
I want to do and see. I've never been to Africa.
Yes.
And there's so many countries. I mean, there's so many countries just in Africa.
Oh my gosh.
You know, between South Africa, and I'd love to go to Kenya, and I'd love to, you know, be in West Africa. Girl, just that alone. And it's not like that's just one trip, right? You can't
right.
go see the whole continent of Africa in like, you know, you got to pick and choose. But I already, right, can envision so many amazing experiences in our future. So I love that you're like that person that can help me. Because again, it goes back to how can we empower each other? How can we work with other people? You know, I get the value of your expertise, and I get to also support you. So it's that, again, that win-win as women, how we can really support and empower each other is like, ooh, I love that.
And you know, you bring up an interesting point, because I love that too. Going back to how can we empower each other and help each other, support one another's businesses too. You know,
Absolutely. Support
one another's business. I love that about you. I have a lot of respect for that, because there are a couple of brick and mortar stores that I go to Are they the cheapest? No, they're not. But there's so much value in service. There's so much value in being able to go back to someone and ask a question. There's so much value in what that person has put into the blood and the sweat and the tears that they put into building their store. We need to realize that the reason why they can't be as quote unquote competitive as we might think that they should be is because they're not the big box store. They're not there. They're not buying their stuff in bulk. You're not finding someone with absolutely no experience, no understanding, no knowledge when you ask a question about a product or service. And there's a lot of us that are really doing lots of things. I love natural skincare, natural hair care products, and nutrition and clothing and all that stuff. And find a woman who is trying to make it, who's finding her niche. This is her passion. Do you have to support her all the time? No, but support her when you can, and don't begrudge her of the life that she's trying to build for herself because you may not understand it. Break those norms. Just because you've always gone someplace, try a new store, try a new business. You might be pleasantly surprised. That's what I find.
I do too. I just, the little mom and pop stores or businesses, I feel like that's like the backbone of our economy. And it's so important, to your point, to really support them. So whenever I can, you know, I always try to think about, what can I do? How can I support them? One thing I want to just go back to is about this notion of travel, especially for people of color, because I think that's, you know, for one, sometimes we don't always have the opportunity. You know, we've been limited in ways that maybe we haven't had the chance to, or sometimes it's like, we're afraid to kind of get out into the world. I remember when Oprah was finishing up her last season and she and Gail went to, I can't remember what park it was. Do you remember that?
Was it part of their road trip?
Yeah, it was part of their road trip.
Right? Oh, I love that. Yes.
I love that because, you know, they were talking about this notion that Black people, you know, we travel, but it's not always in outdoorsy ways.
That's right.
Like, we don't feel comfortable sometimes outdoors, but there's so much to be learned from many different experiences. And one of the people I came across recently, and you probably know her, is Kelly Edwards. Do you know Kelly Edwards?
I don't think so.
I just stumbled upon her. She is this amazing, dynamic Black woman who was the first Black woman to host a travel show on the Travel Channel.
Wait, I can write that down.
I was like, oh.
How can I remember? Yes.
I know. I didn't know her either. And I don't watch a ton of TV. So maybe that's one of the reasons why. But she is a pilot. She got a pilot's license. She's an adventure journalist. She goes all around the world. And she's an amazing role model for women, for people of color, about getting beyond those self-imposed limits we have, about how people will perceive us. If we go to a place where, you know, we haven't been before, she goes scuba diving. She goes on all these things that sometimes I think we're afraid to do, and just lives her life with such joy. And I just feel like she is such a great role model for many of us who have that seeking spirit.
Yes.
And that adventurous nature, but maybe we're not sure, how do I kind of dip my toe in?
Yes.
How do I just kind of, you know, get out of my comfort zone a little bit? And maybe it's in a simple way, but I was like, go ahead, girl.
Yes. I love her already. I wrote it down. I love her already. Cause I promise you, I'm going to look her up and I'm going to start following what she does. But I think, a couple, you touched on a few things there. Historically, we haven't had the resources to travel to do some of those things. You know, we've got a lot of things that we're trying to accomplish. Many of us live marginalized lives. Another misconception about people of color is that we aren't philanthropists. Nothing could be farther from the truth. So many of our resources, when we have them, because there are many of us with means, many, many people of color have the means to go, but we are helping others in our family. We are people that love our family deeply. So we help our family. We love community service projects. So we give our resources to public service initiatives. So sometimes when you think about travel, very often you think about that as something for me. And we're also not taught to look at our own needs and desires first. We're taught very often to look at the needs of others, and that's where our resources go. So I think it's a way that we may be able to do both, whether we have limited means or if we've allocated those dollars to something else. I love those big trips. I love small trips too, but I love the big trips. I love those things. So something that you think you want to do, find someone who can help you do it over time. Find someone who will work with you that, okay, I want to go to Africa. First of all, find out how much that's going to cost, divided by, you know, the amount of time you have left, and see if that amount of money on a monthly basis, weekly basis, whatever it is, works for you, and put it aside. Whether you put it in the bank, whether you put it, give it to your travel agent, whatever it is, so you have something long-term to look forward to. And that's if you have limited means, and that's if you've got money that you've allocated for something else. So I love animals, right? I want to give money to animals. So let's say you have $100 a month that you want to give to animals. Well, maybe you can give 75 to animals you're still helping and 25 to you. You know, so look at it from that perspective. And then from doing things that might be outside of the norm, doing things that may seem a little scary that we've not done before, that seems strange because we've never entertained it in our mind. Was it Will Smith that I saw the other day that had a sign that says, when you're scared, don't shy away from it. Do it scared. Do it being scared. But just do it. You know what I mean? Because you're only going to be scared once. You're going to be scared that first time that you do it. Find a buddy. Say, listen, I'm afraid to go scuba diving. I don't know, you know, what is going to happen, but I need somebody to go with me. If you can't find somebody to go with you, go anyway. Remember that whole, my mom, she was the queen, my mother and father both, queen of expressions. I love myself. I think I'm grand. When I go to the movies, I can hold my own hand. So that means if somebody doesn't want to go to the movies with you, you go anyway, because why should you not be able to see that movie because nobody else wanted to go?
Amen.
So the scuba instructor will help you, right? The person on the safari, there will be other people in that Jeep who will love being on that safari with you. There will be somebody else in that gondola with you in Italy, if that's what you want to do. But go, but don't miss out on anything that you want to do. If you're scared, do it scared.
I love that. I love that. If you're scared, do it scared. And I saw during Shark Week that Will Smith was like swimming, like he had this fear of the sharks.
Yes.
And he just wanted to overcome that, which I thought was so powerful. It's such a powerful metaphor to just exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. You know, yes.
Feel the fear and do it anyway. Find a way. If you know, why not do it by yourself? I went to Australia by myself.
Yes.
Backpacking.
By yourself. I love that.
Girl, yes. I was backpacking in my 30s by myself, but I didn't understand really what backpacking was because I had a backpack and a suitcase. So girl, that part was a little crazy.
We live and we learn.
We live and learn. But I remember I went to the Great Barrier Reef that always had been a dream. And I wanted to go scuba diving, but I was very scared. And I was convinced that there was like, you know, I tried to do it. I was convinced. And again, they just take you down for this dive. You know, you're with instructors, so you don't have to be certified. But I was so petrified that there was no air in that tank. You know how fears are very irrational.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yes.
Very irrational. And so I didn't end up doing it. I ended up coming back up and just snorkeling. And I really was disappointed in myself in that moment because I saw later the video and how beautiful it was. And people came up and told me what they saw. And I was looking at it and I was like, I wish I had challenged myself more. And you know, now years later, I would totally go do it now. I would totally go on that dive. I don't think I'd become a certified scuba diver, but I would go on a dive with an instructor and feel much more confident. So I think it's, you know, trying to work through that fear that we have.
And it's not easy, but I think you're absolutely right. Just finding a way to work through it anyway. And especially if you can say to yourself, okay, years from now, I'm going to wish that I had done this, then you have to do it. You have to do it. And we have to stop comparing ourselves too. Cause just thinking back to like the whole social media thing. So we see all kinds of things and whether it's real or it's fabricated, staged, whatever it is, you see all of this stuff that's going on out there. And then we get this immediate sense of, I have to do it and I have to do it now. But there is so much beauty in the planning. There's so much beauty in earmarking a time that works for you comfortably, where you're not going to sacrifice anything that's important. You know, your mortgage or your rent is still going to get paid. All your food is going to get taken care of. Your lights aren't going to be shut off. You're still saving for your retirement. You're still doing all of those things. So it may look a little differently. For my timeline doesn't have to look like yours, but do it. Write it out. Plot it out. And then when you see it written out, you say, you know what? You know you're going to get there. And time moves a lot faster than we feel like it does in that moment. So in that moment, something that's a year away, 2 years away, seems like it is forever. I had to get 3 people to Africa. That took a little bit of time. We planned for that for like 2 years.
I love that.
Because all the other stuff, you know, tuition for Azari's school, she was in, or I think when I started planning for it, she was in private school. So, you know, all that stuff took me a little bit of time. And then all of a sudden, it was just months away. And then all of a sudden, we were on the plane. And then all of a sudden we were on the plane home, coming home. And that time didn't seem so long then. So plot it out with all the other things that we've got going on in our lives. Just plan it out. But that's another misconception, you know, that I wanted to just dispel, that we can't afford it because we absolutely can, that we don't have the resources because we don't have the resources. No, we are people who have the resources, but we're doing lots of things with those resources. And there are lots of people like Miss Edwards who this is their life. So we got to stop believing what we heard that, you know, people of color don't do X, Y, Z. We do all of it.
Exactly.
And we do it beautifully.
Yeah. I think it's just changing that story or that narrative.
That narrative. Yes.
Whether it's about, you know, how you perceive yourself as a Black person in traveling, or it's about being, you know, what we can do as a woman, you know, and the self-imposed limits, we can always change that narrative. And so many role models, whether they're younger than us or older than us, there's so many people that we can, again, see ourselves in their stories and have a little more courage because if they can do it, you said that earlier, if they can do it, I could do it too.
And then also, and you said a mouthful there, different age groups, because a lot of us feel like I've gotten to this point, so I can't learn anything from someone younger. So not true. You are missing out on something huge. People from different generations see things in different ways, and that is information that you're walking away from. So younger people, have younger friends. They can teach you so much. Have older friends. They can teach you so much. Have friends in different races, different religions. That's how we become empowered. We become empowered with information. And a lot of the information comes from, if you only engage with people who look like you and think like you and are in the same, chances are good. They have the same information that you have. And the more I engage with someone who's younger or someone who's a different race or whatever, and then I bring that back to my circle and share that with, then they grow also.
I love that. Collective wisdom, you know, getting wisdom in many different ways and then bring it full circle, going back and sharing with people. I love that idea.
I like that expression, collective wisdom. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? So I want to wrap up our interview because, you know, we could talk forever.
This has been so much fun.
God, I love it. You are just so brilliant. You're just so present. You're so positive.
You.
It's so empowering. Like, I'm learning things myself. That's why one of the reasons I wanted to have this podcast. It's about trying to empower other women, but it's also empowering myself.
And I'm so excited about your podcast. I am so excited because of Audible, and I listen to stuff all the time. I'm going to be tuned into your podcast and I'm going to share it with everybody I know, because the women that you're going to be interviewing, that's that collective wisdom, right? That's what we're going to be getting. And I'm going to feel like I'm having that conversation with them myself through listening to your podcast. I'm so excited about it.
I love it. So here's my final question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite go-to strategy to get refocused when you start to go down that path of getting down on yourself? Which probably doesn't happen that often because I know how positive you are, but I know we all, no matter how positive we are, no matter how much we have a connection to something bigger than ourselves, No matter how much we have our dreams and desires, sometimes, especially I have to say in menopause, because I've come to realize that, you know, one of the things that happens is mood swings.
Yes.
And you can feel really up. You can feel so good. You're like, I'm doing it.
Yes, yes. Girl. I think you can conquer the world. And then all of a sudden you're a shrinking violet already.
I know. All over again. Yes. So even when we feel empowered, we all have our moments when we feel a little less confident or somewhat unsure. What do you do to kind of get back on that path of, yes, I can do it?
Yes. I read the word. I read the word of God. I really do. And I pray and I journal. First of all, I write my feelings out. I write my feelings out. And then I have around the house in different places, little scriptures that will remind me of exactly who I am and whose I am. I don't belong to Erica. You know, I belong to something much bigger. And I remind myself that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I remember that to whom much is given, of him much is required, right? I have those scriptures that I go back to. And so I remember that I can do all things through Christ. And I look around and I say, to whom much is given, much is required. So I can't rest on my laurels. I never can. I write down my feelings. And yes, I have those moments where I feel just defeated and I feel like I can't do it, or that it's taking me too long to do what I want to, or the outcome doesn't look like what I thought it was supposed to look like. And then I remember that ultimately I'm not in control of that. And the outcome is exactly what God wanted the outcome to be. Maybe that's not what Erica wanted it to be, but if I remember that I'm not in control of this whole thing called Erica's life, then I remember that nothing is going to happen to me today that God didn't ordain. And that's always my go-to. Can I say to you that I immediately go back to that? No. Sometimes I have that pity party. Sometimes I have that pity party. And then just like they used to do in the club when the lights came on at 2 o'clock and they said, you don't have to go home, but you got to get out of here. I have to leave that pity party, right? I'm so serious. You have to leave that pity party because the party's over and you have to go back to reality. And my reality is exactly what God has called me to do. And I get back on my game and I start all over again.
I love that, girl. I love
that. I don't think God has ever been compared to the party and at the club at 2 o'clock. So I'm sorry, God, but that's exactly.
But I know what you mean. And I know what you mean. And I hear you when you say it's your sense of faith that helps you refocus.
Yes.
That, and I feel the same way about my Buddhist practice, right? It's that same concept of this deep sense of faith that I sometimes go down that path of, oh, I can't believe this. This is so terrible.
Right.
But then I need to just step back, you know, read something that's encouraging and refocus on this sense of faith.
Yes.
That anything is possible and that, you know.
Anything is possible.
Yeah.
And get a prayer partner. You know, I would tell people to get a prayer partner. I have a woman that I talk to just about every morning. And sometimes we talk for longer than we intended because we catch up on like the day before. Someone I've been friends with her for almost 30 years. But this part of our relationship is new. And at some point during the course of that brief conversation in the morning, she and I, we pray about the things that are concerning to us. And it helps to get it out. That's almost like journaling for me. But it's just like your Buddhist practice. It's your faith that brings you higher. And sometimes you need another voice to hear so that you can touch and agree upon what you're asking God to do for you or asking the universe to do for you. And you feel empowered because that partner is going to encourage you and make, and it might need to be somebody different, somebody that's not always so close. Like Frankie and I pray together, but when I pray with my prayer partner in the morning, it's very different. Sometimes it's things that I don't always share in the moment with those others that are really, really close to me too. I know you said last question.
I know.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
That is so great. And I have something very similar with like by some fellow Buddhists that we just connect in the morning and we'll send each other inspiring quotes, just like we were talking about earlier via text, right? That we'll support each other that way. And so I have a whole, you know, list of people that I check in with in the morning, even if it's just via text. We don't actually talk, but it's that same sense
of connection,
right? That connection. I'm not alone. there are other people here to support me, that when I really am struggling, instead of just having that pity party, that's the moment for me to reach out and say, you know what? I'm really struggling with this right now. How might you encourage me? Could you give me some words of encouragement? So I think we don't have to be alone, like as human beings, period, as women, especially, because I know many of us have like these big communities of people that help support us and encourage us. And other people, maybe they don't have that same network, right? They don't that same level of, but who is it? Who is your person?
You know? That's right.
And I have a lot of people in that manifest in so many different ways that help lift me up.
Yes. That would be easy to do with you though, Wendy, because you're one of the most beautiful people I know. You have one of the sweetest souls of people that I know. I just really, truly admire you. You are such a gift. You're a gift.
And I feel the same way about you. Like you it's just such a mutual admiration and love. Like you are just always, I'm feeling down, go on Facebook. Let me see what Erica had to say today. Because Erica always has something good to say.
Thank you.
Right? Erica is always spreading love. And that just, it warms my heart, girl. I love it.
Thank you.
So where can people find you if they want to connect with you? And where can they find you online?
CrimsonWorldTravel.com. Erica at CrimsonWorldTravel.com. So crimson, like the color red, CrimsonWorldTravel.com. worldtravel.com.
This is great. I can't thank you enough. I really can't. I am so inspired.
Thank you. I can't thank you enough for including me in on this. This is, your podcast is going to be revolutionary and it's going to help people so much. And the fact that you thought enough of me to include me means everything to me. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This was a beautiful way to spend my morning.
Hey, amazing listener. Loving what you're hearing? If the Reinvention Rebels podcast has you feeling downright revelicious and ready to embrace your inner Reinvention Rebel, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast on your favorite podcast platform.
Are you tired of waiting for someday? Feel like you're too old or it's too late to reinvent yourself? Unsure of how you'd even get started on the path to midlife reinvention? I'm here to help. As your guide on the side and host of the top 2% globally rated Reinvention Rebels podcast, I've been around the reinvention block a lot. Here's a simple way you can get started. Sign up for my free audio, 5 questions to spark your curiosity and inspire your Reinvention Rebel journey. It all starts with getting curious about what's possible. And I've got 5 questions to help tease out some very cool ideas. Let's get started. Details are in the show notes.